show up early and they're willing to serve the Lord. And that's an awesome thing right there. They take their talents that they have and they're not afraid to just step out and say, here it is. And so we're honored, and I'm honored and blessed that I have those guys and gals to do music with. Well, good morning. If you knew who, man, I've been this way all morning, and I rebuke it in Jesus' name. My words will be fixed, I promise. They just don't, it's not working quite like it's supposed to yet, but it will. It will. If you're new here to Williamson County Cowboy Church, we're glad you're here. And hopefully you got a visitor's packet when you came in. And there's a little card in there if you'd fill it out. And in just a few minutes when we do tithes and offerings, we'll, if you would, put them in the bucket up here and somebody will call you. Miss Doris will call you one time and not harass you too much. But we'll just see if you anything we can do for you, pray for you. And if you don't have a church home, we'd love for you to make this one your church home. If you are new here today and the first time you've ever attended Cowboy Church, we don't do too much crazy stuff here at the church. I mean, the new people have to get up and do the hokey pokey, but other than that, it'll go fast. No, I'm kidding. We don't make you do that. But if you are new here visiting for the first time, all we ask you to do is, if you would, just put your hand up so we can give you a big round of applause. Anybody new here today? Right there. Oh, back there. Over there. Thank y'all. Come on, church, make it loud for them. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. Amen. And welcome to the people that are joining us on the camera this morning out there in Never Never Land, wherever that's at. We hope that y'all are tuned in and ready to go this morning. But our pastor, Corey, is on the road this weekend. He's at Hamilton, so I'm filling in this week. It's my turn in the rotation. There's Howdy and I rotate, and then Rusty's been preaching some, and so we all take turns, and they informed me last week it was my turn to be up. So I'm honored that I get to minister to y'all today. Thank you. Now, I do hope that y'all can't, I got a question for you. It's a little tough. I know it's a little early because some of y'all are having a little trouble getting like things going, and that's okay. That happens to some of us, some of y'all. But how many of you out there this morning came expecting to hear from God this morning? 75% ain't bad, I guess. I really hope that you came, because when we come to church, we should expect to hear the Word of God and to hear from God this morning. And that's what you're going to hear from this morning. Amen? Well, I'm going to do some announcements real quick, and then we're going to do tithes and offerings. Next week, if you want to join church, in Cowboy Church, and you've never joined, then next week, I believe Corey will be back, and we're going to do new members next week. So if you'd like to join, be sure and be here next week, and we'll join you up to the church. We don't vote you in or anything like that. As Pastor Corey says, if somebody can vote you in, they can vote you out. And I'm sure glad God doesn't work that way. Amen. That I'm voted in and then I'm voted out. That's not very fun. So, amen, if you'd like to join next week. Also, November the 14th. Guys, you don't have to listen, and most of y'all are good at that. I'm teasing. That's what your wives probably said, but, you know, I don't know. But you women, put down November the 14th, because that's the women's conference. And it is going to be awesome. So Lynette Gleghorn from Greeley, Colorado, the Cowboy Church up there, is going to be here to minister. If you've never seen her speak, oh my Lord, y'all are in for a great time. Ann Smith, Corey Ross's spiritual mom, is going to be here ministering. And if you've never heard Ann, oh, it's good. And then Pastor Corey's wife, Jamie, is going to be ministering that morning. And if you've never heard Jamie, you definitely want to come, because it's going to be a bomb. It's going to be great. So, and I think y'all are having a lunch that day, and we're having breakfast and lunch. You women are special. Y'all having breakfast and lunch. The guy's bringing a sack lunch. I don't know about y'all, but no, I'm kidding. So, but be sure, I think it costs $30, and you can register or join. There you go. You can buy your ticket. Y'all notice how my mouth didn't even move, and it sounded a little womany, but it was good. That's impressive right there. Y'all didn't see? Yeah, I can throw my voice. But now it's time to listen, guys, because the next week is the men's conference. Okay, and it's going to be, Rusty Feltz is going to be here ministering, and some of y'all have had a chance to hear Rusty. Pastor Corey's going to be there, and we've got Chip Brim going to be there in the evening time. It's going to be an amazing day for us men, so y'all make plans. You can sign up at wccowboychurch.org. Okay? Also, they said if you would like political signs to put in your yard for somebody that you support, there's some back there somewhere, so be sure and check those out. I am done with announcements. Hey, y'all give a big round of applause for tithes and offerings this morning. Being that you're new here to visiting Cowboy Church, our pastor, Corey Ross, and his wife, when they started this church, they don't take a salary from this church, because Corey felt like it was so important that we be able to teach on the finances of the godly economy instead of the world economy. So Corey felt like that if he took a salary, people wouldn't take it as well if he's ministering about tithes and offerings. We all believe, we all have faith. We know that man is not our provider. God is our provider. And when we learn to tap into that, that it's amazing that how your life starts changing. And how when you used to worry about paying bills, and you'd pay all the money and there was still bills left over, because you were operating in the worldly economy. But once you start operating in God's economy, and you start tithing, and you start believing, and you start speaking to your money and your bills, you may not be making any more money than you were before you started tithing, but it's, God is so good, you have money left over after you pay those bills. You have to tap in to that godly economy. Let's go to Proverbs. Proverbs 11. Proverbs 11. And we're going to start in verse 24. I still hear pages turning. I'll wait. When you get there, say amen. If you're not there, say, oh my. Still heard a few oh my's out there. We'll wait. It's all right. All right. Verse 24. There is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth to poverty. So let's look at that, because if you're just listening to the King James, that's kind of a bunch of ifs. For me, it was a bunch of ifs. If I scattereth and yet increaseth, well, what are we scattering? It says, there are those who generously scatter abroad. So when we talk about finances and tithing and giving, we're being generous about what we are giving. So the word uses scattereth, but it means to give, and give generously. And yet increase more. So when you're giving more, you're increasing more. It's going to come back to you. What you give is going to come back to you. So if you give more, it's coming back more. Verse 25, the liberal. Now, I know some of you, you know, it's political season, and that word liberal may get on some, and y'all go, I'm not liberal. I'm not liberal. Well, now, wait a minute. This is in the Bible. It's okay. Just calm down. Because that word liberal means generous. It's funny how we get that construed, but misconstrued between the word and the world. You see, liberal means it's the generous soul. Who? I want to be generous. I want to scatter as much as I can scatter to people. I want people to have that. But don't get caught up in that liberal soul. It's the generous soul. Shall be made fat. Now, that's figuratively speaking, of course. For those of you who that keto, that is, you know, it's fat means that it's the things that we scatter, the money, the finances will come back and we will be full. Full. And he that watereth shall be watered also himself. So what that's saying is that when we giveth and we're giving and we're generously giving, that's watering. We're watering what we're giving. When we give, so therefore, God's going to give back to us, but we're going to get watered at the same time, because what happens when you get a plant gets watered, what does it do? It grows. Amen? I don't know about y'all, but I want the head waterer watering me. Amen? Because that means I'm going to grow. And notice, I'm talking about our finances, but scattereth means not just sowing or scattering your finances. It means sowing love. It means sowing blessing. You can bless somebody just by calling them and saying, "How are you today? Man, I thought of you today. How are you?" So when you start scattering generously as a liberal sow, and this is one time that some of y'all can take it here, you can say, "I'm a liberal sow." Amen? The Word says it. The Word says it. Amen. So with a big round of applause, y'all come and give this morning. All right, we got our guards up here this morning. It's more than just a song I sing, it's my life. And when I think upon the day, saved because of grace, so Lord, use my All right, I think they're done. All right, y'all give them a big round of applause for working so hard. Y'all, let's pray over this. Stretch your hands out. Father God, we thank you for everyone that is a giver, those that gave today and those that give on a regular basis. Father, we just lift them up to you this morning. We call it pressed down, shaken together, and sent back to them, overrunning in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you that they generously scatter about, Father God, their finances to bless other people, to bless this church, Father. We just thank you that we call that kids' church built in the name of Jesus, that it's finished, Father. We just pray over this. We plead the blood of Jesus over these finances in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. All right. Yeah, you can clap. It's okay. It is all right. Well, I guess, is everybody going out this morning? All right. Well, with a big round of applause on the count of three, we're going to dismiss kids and youth. 1, 2, 3. Give them a big round of applause. I love that cowbell when it's going out that door. It reminds me, because I grew up in West Texas, and when I was growing up, we used to go to every football game because my sister marched in the high school band. And I don't know if y'all have heard of the high school I went to or not, but it's called Permian High School. The one that Friday Night Lights movie was made after. By the way, 75% of that movie was not true. You laugh, but I'm serious. Odessa doesn't even look like that. But it was West Texas football. It's Texas football. Everybody loves high school football. And that cowbell, man, them people love them bells. Oh, my goodness. Whew. Man, I tell you what. The title of my message this morning is, and this is cowboy, okay, how you choosing. Not how you chewing, how you choosing. Now, there's no G on the end of my title. It's how you choosing. You know, with everything in our world today that's happening, there's a lot of choices that have to be made. How you choosing? Corey talked about last week, and I was so thankful for Corey, because I'm always thankful for our pastor, amen? Because we have a bold and godly man leaving this church. Amen? Yes. And the Holy Spirit is so good because I had didn't know that it was going to be my week to preach until Rusty told me. Corey didn't tell me. Rusty told me. I was like, man, it is, you hear things. It's kind of like Rusty called me the other day, and he didn't know he was preaching, so I told him he was. So we keep. And Howdy texts me, says, hey, did you know you're pretty? We all keep each other in the loop because, well, we never know. But Corey last week, I'd type, put in my phone, or just a little reminder, I make notes. I mean, I'm sure most of you techie people don't do what I mean, me being the big techno guy, I put it in my reminders because I had, the Holy Spirit had given me an idea for a sermon. It was about choices. It was about 2 months ago, and I hadn't really studied a whole bunch on it or just really got it. But last week, when what he preached about Deuteronomy 30, about I set before you life or death, blessing and cursing. And it was like the Holy Spirit goes, there you go, I set you up for next week. Well, that's the way the Holy Spirit does Ricky. He may not talk to y'all because we're all different, right? But the Holy Spirit's going, I laid it out for you, baby. Take it and run with it. So all week long, I prayed and I believed and I said, man, where do I want to go with this? And I was talking to a young man in New Mexico, and they farm, big farms. I mean, probably 10, 15,000 acres or more. That's big to me. It may not be big in farming, but when you're your own, it's not owned by a corporation. One man owns it, you know, and he leases, and they farm everything. And it's a young man that I play music with some that I've been blessed. Good kid. And we were talking. He goes, man, I'm glad you called. I said, well, I was just thinking about you. I thought I'd call and check on you. He goes, I was just talking to my dad, and he said, I love my dad. And he said, but he got to talking about how things used to be done and how the good old days. And here he went. And he said, man, I got down. He said, and the boy's only 23, 4 years old. I mean, he's, you know, his dad younger than I am, which that's weird in itself. But, and they're talking about the good old days. And we were talking about, and my own dad and I have had this conversation. And probably a lot of y'all have reflected on, well, it ain't like it used to be. You know? Yeah, a bunch of you smiling. But he and I were visiting. And it was really enlightening to hear a young man of his age go, but you know what, Ricky, why can't we have it like it used to be? And I said, you're absolutely right, Kobe. You are absolutely right. I told him I was going to use this in the sermon because this was so relevant to what I'm going to talk about today, is that why can't we have the way it used to be? Did you choose not to do it, or did somebody else choose not to do it for you? You see, if you didn't choose to quit doing that, then why aren't you still doing it? Because what you do doesn't necessarily depend on them. I can still function and do things how I used to do it. But I have to make some adaptation. How about that word? Adaptation. Because I can take those same values and those same morals and those same godly principles, and I can use them the way I learned how to use them. What's stopping me? What's stopping you? You see, it's a choice. It's a choice that I take that of old and go ahead and say, you know what? I'm not giving it up. It may be old, but it's right. You see, this word, if we're talking old, this word is old, isn't it, y'all? Did you give this up? No. So why can't we function the way we used to? It may not look exactly like it did, but it's us that are letting that happen. We're choosing to go, well, here's the deal. The world won't let me do it. You know what I say? Baloney. Do it. Just make those adaptations. How do we do that? That's what we're going to find out today. That's what we're going to find out. You know, Jesus, as I studied this and I read different places and I read different people talking, and theologians, and you know, they're saying that Jesus talks about life being a journey. It is a journey. And every journey has a destination. When I read that life has a journey, it reminded me of about 4 or 5 years ago when we were in Vegas with Corey doing the church service at the NFR. And me and my wife, Laurie, and she's already laughing because she knows what I'm supposed to say, and Dad and Mom, we had gone to this bucking bull sale. Now, you could buy, they were selling 13 bulls. And they were just being trained, nobody ride them, and they put those electronic packs on them, so it was just weight, it didn't shock them, but they could feel it. Then after 6 seconds, they would push a button and it throw the weight off, so they'd quit bucking and they'd go out. You could see the bull's butt. So they were selling 13 chances, and you got to draw a number. You didn't get to pick the one you wanted, you drew a number. And it was just $13,000. That's all. So my dad and my wife decide we need to buy a bucking bull, which none of us know anything about. I did the same thing, man. I had that look. What? And so, you know, I'm one, like, I like to gather, about stuff like this. My wife is the information gatherer. But stuff like this, when it's cost $13,000, and they're going, "Oh, just write the check, Ricky." And I'm like, "What? Y'all are so funny." So I go talk to this guy. We kept seeing him because we were there for like 6 or 7 days. So I kept running into the guy that was in charge of selling these bulls. And I said, "Man, so explain to me how we're going to get the money back." He said, "It's not about the money." I said, "What?" I said, "It's not about the money." He goes, No, Ricky, it's about the journey." Now, I can go on a journey a lot better than $13,000 for a bucking bull. Okay? Well, the end of that journey was we didn't buy no bull, that's for sure. And thank God we didn't, because that market has gone. But it made me stop and think about that journey. Okay? Thank God we didn't go on that journey. Oh, then they got, the next year it was like they were selling bucking horses. And I'm like, "I ain't taking y'all nowhere. No more." But we have to make a choice. We have to make a choice that when, what are we going to do? I mean, it is. You cannot tell me that anything you do is not a choice. You could say, "Well, I'm not going to do anything." You just chose. I'm telling you. I asked Laurie, because we talked about this yesterday, and I bounced things off of her, and I said, "Do you realize that everything is a choice?" Because you say, "Well, I'm not going to do anything." Made the choice. It's like when she wants to, I say, "Let's go to supper, okay?" I ask her where you want to go. She goes, "I don't know." She wants to go, "Give me 3 choices. I give her 3 choices, then we do the dance, and then we choose where to go. You see, we have to make a choice. In Deuteronomy 30, God set before us life or death, blessing or cursing. He told us to choose life. If you look at Jeremiah 21, it says that, "Thus saith the Lord, I set before you," listen to this, "the way of life and the way of death." Now you notice, y'all can, some of you flipping over, I'll tell, that was 21:8. If you want to look at it. I love that scripture. And I reading the Bible a lot. And that's one scripture I didn't remember reading. And I'm like, "Man, I know I've read it, but I don't read." And I read that scripture over and over and over. And the Holy Spirit said, "I set before you the way of life." It doesn't say a way of life. It says the way of life and the way of death. So if we look back at Deuteronomy, God told us to choose life, right? Jeremiah tells us that the Lord saith, "I set in front of you the way of life." So today we're going to be, everybody flip to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. This is at the end of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And when he gave this message, he had only been in the ministry about a year, a little more. And it's the message is just so amazing. And after I got into it and I just read it over and over and I studied it out and I prayed about it, man, there is so much in this that it tells us. We're going to start, everybody there? Verse 13. It says, "Enter ye in at the strait gate." Now, I'm going to stop right there. Because that, first of all, Jesus didn't say, if you want to, you can enter the strait gate. Or if you don't, you know, just choose, make up your mind. But no, it's a command. He's telling us right here, it's in red. I was taught that meant he was serious. Amen. "Enter ye in the strait gate." That word "strait," you notice it isn't spelled S-T-R-A-I-G-H-T. It's spelled S-T-R-A-I-T, which means compressed or narrow. It's like you've heard of the Strait of Magellan, and it's not about that it's just straight, but that it's compressed, that it's a narrow gate. And it says, "For wide is the gate and broad is the way." So wait a minute. He's telling us right here, okay, just like he said, life or death, blessing or cursing, I'm going to set before you the way of life and the way of death. Here he's telling us, enter the straight gate, but then he also tells us there's another choice. "For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat." Now, he's telling us that the way of life is through that straight gate. He tells us that the broad gate, the wide gate with the broad, it's like if you've ever been in L.A. and you've seen that freeway out there, oh my, that's a scary thing. Holy cow. I drove several times out there when we were on the road playing. I don't want any part of that, y'all. Thank God for Texas. Amen. That's a scary thing. So when I think about going through that wide gate and I get to a broad way, I think about the L.A. freeway. Because you see everything on the L.A. freeway. There are crazy people out there doing crazy things, and they don't care. They wave at you funny out there. I thought they were mouthing things at me like, "Hi, how are you?" But he was red in the face. I don't think he was. I don't know. So here Jesus is saying, enter the straight gate, the narrow. Because he said over here is easy. He said over here is broad gate, so that you can get whatever you want through that gate. You can take all your junk with you when you go through the broad gate. You can drag all your luggage that you should have let go of. You can drag everything that you want, all your problems with you through that big old wide gate. And then you can go out there and run around on that LA freeway with the crazy people. But here Jesus is saying, enter the straight gate. 14, because straight is the gate. There again, he told us, enter the gate, and here he's saying it again. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. So he's telling us that the way to life is through that straight gate. Just in those two verses, if you look at the words that Jesus is using right here, the word comparison, straight gate or narrow, wide gate. The path is narrow, but over here the path is broad, the way is broad. Few will choose the straight gate. Many will choose the world gate, the LA freeway. What are you choosing? I want that straight and narrow. Here's the deal. When we choose that straight gate, there's responsibility that comes with choosing that straight gate. Because once we go through that straight gate, it's not just about salvation. Amen, that's a great thing. But once we go through that straight gate, then it comes, okay, I'm on this narrow path. I'm walking this narrow path. Are you staying on the path? Or you got one foot hanging off in the ditch out here? What do you choose? What do you choose? Thank God for grace and mercy and forgiveness. Because if we do that, God says it's okay. All you do is repent and move on. He'll forgive you. That's what it says here. It's a choice, y'all. It's a choice. This isn't, it's not about, you can't pick and choose now what you believe out of here. This isn't a golden corral. This isn't, I don't really want Brussels sprouts, but I want broccoli. Or I want French fries. This isn't golden corral, y'all. We have to choose everything. And he tells us, are y'all there? Yeah, because when I started, I talked about, he said, choose life and blessing. And then he set the way for us. And he told us, here's two gates. We choose to go through that gate. Once we go through that gate, we live in the world, but we don't live of the world. Amen? See, when we start realizing that, when we start acting like the world does. And when I say acting, I'm not saying necessarily that you're doing, you know, whatever. You know, drugs or having an affair or drinking too much or I don't know. But when I say you start acting like the world, are you getting mad all the time? If you watch the news, you can get mad all the time. I don't watch the news anymore. Fix that problem real easy. God is good. Amen. But are you choosing to stay on that path of narrow, that when something doesn't go your way, that you freak out and don't know what to do? But the word says, go through this gate. This is our manual for life. The word says, don't be anxious for anything. I was anxious this morning, and I don't usually get that way. But I knew it was going to be good. Something good comes of that. But the Word says, I had to use the Word this morning. I'm back there praying, and I'm. And I rebuke that. Man, I pray. Father, give me strength this morning. Because I know He's got the message that y'all need to hear this morning, that I need to hear. It's not just for you. In fact, I'm glad you're here, but this is for me. It's just a bonus if y'all get something out of it. Amen? Yeah. Because I need to hear this in this time, in this crazy world, in these stupid things that are going on. I have a choice. I have a choice. How I handle everything is a choice. You know, we had lunch last Sunday with Rusty and Kathy, and we were talking about everything that's going on. And over here, they tell us that this is the truth. And yet over here, this is the truth. What do you do? See, like, we're very blessed to have a pastor like what we've got. We have a church that knows that we pray for discernment. But there are people that are new at our church that are learning. And there's people out there that we can minister to in the world that doesn't get it. I'm telling you what, I talk to those people a lot that don't get it. And they're still scared, y'all. Do this. No, do this. No, do this. I read one thing, and it was a joke, but it was said, I can fix your problem from touching your face with your hands. Put horse manure on it. Then, when you touch your face, you'll get horse manure on it. Well, ain't nobody going to get within 6 feet of you. And then you have to go in and wash your hands and sanitize. It works. I don't know. Are you going to believe that? It probably does. You see, it's a choice. It's a choice. In Romans, it says that we don't be conformed of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And how do we renew our mind? We get in the Word. We start looking up Scripture. And we start going, man, thank you, God. Show me what I need to know. He will show you if you start spending more time with Him. Man, because our God is a good God. He says, I will never leave you or forsake you. So He will always show you the way. Again, Romans, it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind to prove that's good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God. So when you start looking at this and going, oh, wait a minute, is this the will of God? See, because you even have Christian leaders, not our leader, thank you, Jesus, for Corey Ross. But if you watch TV, you got some Christian leaders out there that have gotten way over there. If you discern it and you see that what's really happening, just like other people going way over here. It's not about that. It's about this. You have to learn to use this for your stance. Okay? Now, I watched The Karate Kid when I was younger. And Mr. Miyagi-san, when he taught Daniel-san, it was always important to have a good stance, because you could not perform those moves with the proper balance unless you had a good stance. Right? This is our stance, y'all. This is the best stance you'll ever find. Ever. Amen? We have to get a hold of the stance. Stand on the Word of God. Amen? You see, in John, it says that if you're of the world, the world will love you. Because you're not in the world, and we're not in the world. Because we choose... Oh, wait, what did I say? We choose not to be. But because we're not of the world, Jesus chose us. God chose us. And the world hates us. And I don't mean to be a Debbie Downer or Negative Nancy or I don't know. But, if you take that scripture to heart, you go, well, because some of us don't like people to hate us. I don't want people to hate me. But it doesn't really matter. If I'm standing on the Word of God and I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, I'm doing everything to the glory of God, then it doesn't matter if they down at QT don't like me for not wearing a mask when I come in. I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there. But you know what I'm saying? Is why do you care about what the world thinks? Why are you so caught up in, oh, well, you know, afraid to say Jesus out loud. Somebody might hear. You know what? By golly, say it loud and say it proud. Because that's what we have, y'all. We have that promise of eternal life. He died for us. He shed His blood. You know, Jesus shed His blood so that we could live. You know, and the Holy Spirit just brought to my mind, thank you, God, for veterans. Because they're the only ones that, and police, that shed their blood so that we can be here worshiping God. And we can be talking about His Word. Man! That makes me teary-eyed. I don't apologize for crying. I embrace it. More men should not be afraid to show that they can shed a tear. And I can shed them with the best of them. But it does. Y'all stop and think about it. People, Holy Spirit, whew. You think about an 18-year-old kid going over there fighting for me. Not about y'all, it's about me. He's over there fighting so we can do this. Oh my Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Because He did what? What did that young man do? He chose. That's right. He chose to go fight for a country that was founded on godly principles. And if an 18-year-old kid will go fight for me, then I'm going to start standing up and doing what's right here. Amen. My. Whew. That wasn't even in the notes. In fact, I can't even see my notes right now. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. Let's go on to verse 15. Man. It says, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Well, I didn't tell y'all when we started, but, and I should have, about, the first one is about, is, little section is called, I called it gates. And this second section that we're going to be talking about is called false prophets. I like to refer to it as a sheep imitation. That was good. And I got two. Some of them are just now getting it. Others will get it on the way home. Man, that hurts. I didn't even tell my wife and she didn't even laugh hard. Beware. I looked that word up in the Greek. And the Greek word is prosecco. And it means to pay attention or to take heed. And then I looked up that word false prophets. Because today, nowadays in time, it's talking, false prophets, if you look it up in the Greek it says two things. It says pretended foreteller, or religious imposter. So it kind of gives us, and this is the Greek, and it gives us two, and really actually the two definitions I kind of wanted. I mean, I'm really, because like, I'm being led and hoping this thing goes, because I know it's going to go where the Holy Spirit goes. We're so fortunate to have leadership that is not a false prophet. And I will tell you one thing about our leader, and I've heard him say it many a time, and you've heard him say it. He'll say this, don't take my word for it. Go look it up for yourself and see if it's true or not. You know, and he's right. Sometimes we may misquote something, and forgive us if we make mistakes. But our leader, our pastor, the head of this church, says, go look it up. Don't take my word for it. False prophets will not tell you to do that. Because you'll find out, oh wait, their word's not true. What they are spewing and how they are spewing it will not work. The other part of that is the pretended foreteller. We see a lot of that. It's like, so for an example, who are you following besides your pastor at church? Who do you work with? Who are you hanging out with? Are you buying into what those people are saying? It's like what we're getting ready to do before long, and I didn't want to go political, and I'm not. We're coming to an election. But who are you going to believe? Who are you going to believe? You see, when those people start spewing their stuff, what do you do? Are you one to be quick to believe? Are you one to quick to believe if it's what you want to hear? Ouch. We always want to hear what we want to hear, right? So are we being those that are quick to hear what we want to hear and we didn't really discern it? Or are we discerning everything? Because isn't that what we're supposed to do as believers? Is that when we're doing anything, that we get knowledge, that we ask God for wisdom, because that's what it says to do in James? So how do we make those decisions? Start with the Word. Start with the Word. Start doing your research. You know, here's the thing that some of you may not like. Go to the ones, go look at all the information you can find, good or bad. Information that you know is not true. And compare it to what you've discerned is true. And see how they're using, the way they're using it to get people off. Amen? See, that's what it's about, is doing your due diligence. And that you're doing your due diligence with the Bible. And that you're doing your due diligence because it says seek wisdom. So seeking wisdom is God will give you wisdom. But God also gives us wisdom to do our research. Man, without and I hate research. I hate it. I know my wife, that's what, I'm sorry. Research papers in college, I'd rather stand up and give a speech than to have to write. But anyway, that's another story. Do your research. Don't be ignorant of what's going on. Just because I turned off the news, I have now gone to where I look at headlines on my phone and decide what I'm going to look at and what I'm not going to look at. And if I start reading an article that the title misled me, I quit reading. It's not because I'm reading what I want to read, but when you know that what they're putting out will cause you... False prophets, pretended foretellers, are to do one thing. That's to divide us, y'all. That's to break up the unity. That is for a church. That is for the Word. That is for everything that we do in life. That is their job. Some do it on purpose. Some do it unknowingly. How do we find them out? Let's read on. It's amazing. Verse 16. Ye shall know them by their fruits. That word know means to get knowledge. It means to... Wait, I better make sure I remembered right. I can't even find it now. I'll tell y'all when I get there. I do know it means knowledge, though. I told you I don't go by my notes. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs from thistles? In other words, do you get grapes from a thorn bush? Or do you get figs out of a... And a thistle is also, for you people from West Texas, it's also a tumbleweed. That is a thistle. And no, I can tell you, figs do not grow on those either. 17 says, even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree, a bad tree, bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. And this must be important because Jesus starts out using this and then he finishes this little passage. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. What are they producing? What are they producing? I had a very wise man conversation with the wise man on Friday. Because it was one of those things, because if you look up in the first part of this, it says, do not judge. But then it says, ye shall know by the fruits that they produce. Well, I'd had a conversation, Laurie and I were talking, and she always likes to mess me up. Because she always throws things out there that I have to go, no, that's not what I meant. And she goes, well, but, you know, so, like I said, I called the very wise man I know, and we had a discussion. And the discussion wasn't, and he enlightened me, because I knew what it meant, but how to say it, because some of you may be going, well, wait a minute. We're going to look at their fruit, and we can tell if they're good or bad. Isn't that judging? No, it's not judging. Okay, because judging is like that I would judge all that, you know, I won't, never mind. I was trying to think. I better think of a better example. I might got thrown at me on that one. It's like saying, oh, man, look at your car. That's beat up. That's terrible. They must not be very good people. They must be. That's judging somebody, y'all. That's saying that I'm better than they are. That says we're not supposed to do that. Much less say, well, that's a bad person, and I wish they'd run off in the ditch and hit a tree. We're not to pass judgment either. We're not to decide what their punishment is for being a bad person. I know some of us probably would like to, but we're not supposed to do that. But what you are doing when you look at the fruit that they produce, it's like we were talking about discernment. Is what that person's saying or doing, is that good fruit? Does it line up with our stance? Does it line up with what we stand upon? Is it something that I want to be around, that I want to be involved with, or am I going to take myself out of that situation? Amen? Y'all don't fall on me now. Y'all's doing real good. Y'all getting sleepy now? Better wake up. That's the difference. Knowing means that I'm making that call for myself. I'm not going, oh no, they did this, they should fry. That's judgment. Knowing by what they produced their fruit is how does that affect me and how am I going to take that to whether I use it or don't use it. Amen? All right. Verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, we have not prophesied in thy name, and thy name have cast out devils, and the name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. So I call this little section obedient follower or professor. Now, I'm not talking about a college professor. Are you a doer or are you just a hearer? See, I got a guy that I know that knows the word better than most people I know. I mean, he can spout any verse, but yet when it comes to anything in his life, he doesn't use it. He'd come up at different times and say, Ricky, man, this is happening with my kids. And the Word says this. And he'll say, that's right, that's what the Word says. Man, I just don't know what I'm going to do. You know, and I find it's just one of those deals where you just go, do the Word! Do the Word! This is a question. I'm posing this. I'm not saying any of you are. But you can be caught in that trap. In James, I thought this was really, the Holy Spirit is, like I said, so good, because I read this scripture and I thought, I've never seen that last little line there. In James 1, it says, be doers of the word, not just hearers only, deceiving yourself. I thought, because, you know, when I think of that scripture, it's just like, be doers of the word, not just hearers. Because you don't hear people a lot of times say, well, deceiving yourself. Because, well, who really wants to hear that? Maybe we should start hearing it. Not saying that you deceive yourself on purpose. How do we check ourselves? Man, you ask God. Man, search my heart, God. Show me if I'm really doing or just hearing. Am I doing what I'm supposed to do when I enter the straight gate on the narrow path? You've told me about false prophets. You've warned me. And thank you. And those people are not going to like me too well. But you know what? Who cares? Because I know that this is the right way. This is the truth. This is the way, y'all. It's the way. God tells us it's the way. Are you a doer? Or are you just a hearer? Verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not. But it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. Here again, Jesus still using those comparisons. He said, a wise man, if you build it on a rock. And I love what the Amplified says. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a stupid, foolish man who built his house upon the sand. I don't know how about y'all, but I don't want to be called stupid and foolish, and especially by God. Amen? When we build our house on that foundation, when we take our stance on the Word of God, then it's not going to get blown away. We are not going to get blown away. We have a choice. We have a say. I have a choice. Say, I have a choice. Amen. What do you choose? How are you? Are you choosing that straight gate with the narrow path? Are you learning to discern the Word of God from the people that are trying to tell you not the Word of God, or that are trying to spin it the way they want it instead of the way the Word of God says? Because He rewards us. That's the way that the Holy Spirit showed me, is that if we learn to discern that and we learn to be doers of the Word, then we will be like wise men and we'll build it on the rock. And so when the storms come, it doesn't get blown away. It's not that destruction. Here's the path for life, right here. How do you choose? And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at His doctrine. For He taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. In the Amplified, it uses the word astonished, overwhelmed. Listen to this. Overwhelmed in the Greek means ekpleso. It's a strong verb that means awestruck in amazement. And this came out of the Passion. It was a footnote. Jesus spoke with such glory and power coming from Him that His words were like thunderbolts in their hearts. May we choose to hear His words in the same way today. It's our choice. What are you choosing? Are you choosing that, well, you know, that straight and narrow path? Boy, I was excited when I got saved and I got on that path, and oh, now the world's making fun of me for following that path. Don't give in. Choose to follow God. Choose to get that foot back up on that pathway and follow that path. It's your choice. It's not mine. It's nobody in here but yours. It's how you walk. You choose Jesus. How do you walk? Are you walking in love? Are you walking in forgiveness? Are you walking in, it's okay to be in the old days, I just got to make it work for today? What are you choosing? Right now, the Holy Spirit put it on me this morning. If you are holding on to something and you're tired of it, I mean, you've been dragging this sucker around. As my wife says, I can kick a dead horse. If you've been dragging an old dead horse around for years and you're tired of it, I want you to stand up right now. It's okay. And be bold. I know there's people here because the Holy Spirit does not lie to me. Amen. It's all right. Anymore. Come on, be bold. If you're dragging around something, you've held on to it, and you let go of it, but sucker keeps coming back. Stand up right now. It's okay. It's okay. Yeah. It's okay. Yeah. Yeah. Because what you're doing right now by standing up is you're choosing. You are choosing to acknowledge that dead horse you've been dragging around for a long time. And it's time to let go of that sucker and bury him. He's starting to smell. That wasn't the Holy Spirit. That was mine. I'm sorry. But I'm telling y'all, when you realize that when you're carrying that stuff around, it stinks. It does. It really does. That's it. Okay, so right now, everybody stretch your hands out toward them. But what I want y'all to say right now is, I choose to let go of this dead horse I've been carrying for all these years. I'm finished. I'm done. I will not pick up this horse ever again. I am free. Say, I'm free loud. I'm free. Yeah. You're free of dragging this junk around, y'all. Amen. You can sit down. You know, what do you choose? What we choose is so important. What we choose to eat, what we choose to do is so important. And we, the biggest thing I can tell you this morning, not the biggest thing, but it. Do you realize God sees every, we forget. And there's not a person in here that probably could say that this, it's not true, but we forget that God sees everything we do. He hears everything we say. He hears everything we think. When we start learning to live, and before we make that choice or choose, are you thinking, oh, God's listening. God's going to hear what I'm fixing to choose. When you start thinking that way, your life going to get back on that narrow path. And that's a hard thing. It's for me. I'm the first one to admit it. Y'all know me. I'm not afraid to admit it. If it's me, I'll tell you. That's a hard thing. But we have to learn to live like every time we think about something, God's listening. Every time we say something, God's listening. Choose to enter that straight gate this morning. Amen. Y'all had a good time? With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, I want you to right now. I want you to enter that straight gate. Now's the time. If you've just kind of wavered on the fence about, man, I want to, but I don't want to. No, we're not going to embarrass you. We're not going to make you come up front. We're not going to make you do anything silly. But right now, I'm going to have you say a prayer out of your mouth, out loud, but I'm going to ask all the believers here to say it with us, out loud. They need to learn this prayer. It's time that we start getting people saved and healed and delivered. And right now, the first step is accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior. So if you've never done that, I want you to do it right now. So out of your mouth, we're going to pray like this, and I want the believers to say it too. Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. I ask you to come in and save me. I believe Jesus died for me. He shed that blood for me. And that I'm saved. I enter that straight gate, the way of life. Thank you, Father, for my new way of life. Now before I say amen, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you just did that, you just gave your life to the Lord, I'm going to ask you to be bold right now. Because the Word says, Jesus says, Don't be afraid to acknowledge me before man, and I won't be afraid to acknowledge you before Jesus, before the Father. So right now, with every head bowed and every eye closed out of respect, is if you just said that and you just accepted Jesus as your Savior, on the count of three, I want you to put your hand up and then you can put it right back down. We want to get you a Bible real fast. 1, 2, 3. If that was you, thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Be bold. Anybody else? Thank you, Father. Ooh, in Jesus' name, amen. I saw three. Amen, y'all. Come on up, howdy. I'm done.
It's a great one. There we go. Oh, man. There's so many good points in there. How many of y'all are still making choices? Because if you ain't, you're living somebody else's life. I'll tell you that right now. Man, when I finally realized growing up that everything that I am is a reflection and a manifestation of what I've chosen and what somebody else's fault, man, that set me free. Your life is exactly what you have made it. Not what Ricky's made it, not what Pastor Corey's made it, but it's you are a manifestation of everything that you have sown yesterday. And one of those scriptures that you went over, that last one, verse 29, it said he spoke as if one who had authority and not like the scribes. That's what makes us different. There is so much good stuff in that. I could stand up here all day and talk about that stuff. That's the only thing you have that everybody else doesn't have. The world doesn't have that. You have authority. You have a name that nobody else can use. Only the Jesus freaks, right? You get to choose today to use that authority. Go out into the world this week and use what was given to only you, the Jesus freaks. Make good decisions. That's all I talk about in class every day. When I'm teaching, make good decisions. I tell my kids all the time, you know, when I go out, y'all heard me say it. Be smart today. Don't be an idiot. The other day, I got to tell this story before I get out of here. It's so good. He was in class, and one of his coaches, football coaches, asked him a question. And one of his partners, one of his kids' name was Lane. His partner in the class was Lane. And the coach asked my boy, he goes, you know, asked him a question, and he goes, "That sounds like a Lane question." And he said, "What?" He said, "Did you say that was a lame question?" He said, took his mask down, you know, because you got to take your mask down. He said, "No, I said that was a Lane question. A Lane." When you speak, speak with articulation. Be specific, and you do it with authority. Amen. Oh, God, it's so good. Go all day on this. If you haven't put your offering in the bucket, put it over here, please. And if you would like to give to Ricky, because, of course, he doesn't take a salary here, if you want to bless him, if God's put it on your heart to bless him, make it out to Ricky Bowen, and he'll teach you how to spell a million if you need to know how to spell a million. But if you want to bless him, this is Ricky Bowen Ministries, I'm sorry. Don't make it out to the church. Make it to him if you're writing a check. And if you need an envelope for documentation for a tax record that he can send you, make sure you get one of those envelopes and put your name and address on it. And sometimes I get them. They just have money in them. They don't have names on them. And I'm like, just, you know, anyway. But if you're just throwing cash in there, just throw it in there. You know, you don't have to use an envelope. But if you want it documented, you want documentation for your tax records, please make it to Ricky Bowen Ministries, okay? But that was so good today, man. Good stuff. So good. When you get out of those chairs today, you immediately walk with authority. You stand up out of that chair with your shoulders square, and you get out of here. Amen. Don't forget to give to Ricky if you want to give right here. This is his bucket right here, especially if you're new. This is it, not that one. Stand to your feet. Let's get out of here. Let's pray. Father, we love you so much. We thank you so much for what you do for us. We are so thankful that you would even consider us, Lord. And Lord, we are so honored that we have something that the world does not have. We are not moved by a virus. We're not moved by protests. We're not moved by crazy people getting mad about an election that's coming up, or a president and somebody trying to nominate a new justice, you know, Supreme Court justice. We're not going to be moved by any of that. We're going to keep on living. And we're just going to keep on being who we are, and we're going to make good decisions. And we're going to walk with authority, according to verse 29. We walk with authority, and we choose this day to serve you, and we love you, in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed. Big round of applause. We'll see you later. Don't forget to come give.